I think we're discussing some things that are really new to most of the brothers and the sisters. Is that true? All right, thank you, brother. I realize that all of you have heard of the body, and all of you have heard of the soul, and all of you have heard of the spirit. And I don't mean that that's new, but I think that what we were learning here from the Lord is something we have not generally known before. Okay, brothers, we started off with the body, we moved to the soul, and before we got to the spirit, we stopped to discuss the heart. Now, tonight is no little matter. I want you to know that we're not here tonight to learn something about the human heart. We're here to deal with the human heart. There is an immense difference. And brothers, let me just talk with you a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ himself made a statement. He said, there's seed. And toss it out. And some of it falls by the wayside. Some of it falls on rocky ground. Some of it falls there. Where? All right, or the thorns come up with it, really. In that particular case, it's just a ground that is not pure. There are other things in the ground besides the seed. Because the thorns weren't there, the thorns came up with it and choked it out. Then there's some good ground, 30, 60, and 100-fold. 30, 60, and not 90, but 100-fold. And then, brothers and sisters, there was seed planted. It was just thrown. What is the seed? Please tell me, what is it, G. Brian? The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is seed that produces after its kind. That's what it is. It is seed that produces after its kind. And it intends to grow if it's given a chance. And that's why we're dealing with the heart. If it's given a chance, it'll grow. And the Lord said that man was to live by nothing but seed that bore after its kind. And you're to live, brothers, eventually the seed gets planted deep in the soil of your heart, and you're to live by that seed when it grows up. Now then, brothers, some of the seed fell on wayside ground, stony ground, impure ground, and good soil. Now, do you realize, I'm talking, we have a saying, I don't know where it came from. Have you ever heard it? I'm going to talk to you like a Dutch uncle. How many of you know that saying? We'll find out where it came from. One, two, three, four, well, five, six, maybe not. Maybe it's not a Southern saying. I don't know. I'm going to talk to you like a Dutch uncle for a few minutes.
You can choose which soil you will live.
It's far within your capacity. And it all depends on the soil. Brother, you may just think you can be an independent Christian and just keep on growing. I got news for you.
The seed was sown, and it came up in that parable of Matthew 13. It came up corporately. In the next parable, it was blended corporately. And in the next, it grew corporately. In the next one, it was made into a root corporately.
And then the treasure was something corporate until finally you get to the pearl. That's all one. Where the Lord is wanting to get us all. God never intended for any brother in this room to be an individual Christian. Nor did God ever intend for any brother in this room to be an independent Christian. Amen. That's harder on me than anybody else in the room. For I am an independent brother. You may think I'm not an independent brother. I am the most independent brother in this room. I was raised to be independent. At the age of 11, I didn't lose my mother and dad. They're both still alive. But since the day I was 11 years old, I've been on my own. When I was 13 years old, I was hitchhiking all over the state of Texas. By the time I was 15, I had was completely out of the jurisdiction of any person on this earth. By the time I was 18 years old, I had finished college, and by the time I was 19, I had traveled in about 17 countries, all by myself. On my own. It was 18 countries. Yeah, you're looking at one of the most independent people ever lived. I don't think you can get any more independent than me. I found out something one day, that my independence stops the surface of the soil. And if I'm to break through and grow, I'm going to do it corporately.
Amen, brother. It really is. It really is.
And I am going to have to break into the soil and watch it come up. The seed that's been planted in me. And brother, you can be the 30, the 60, or the 100, but you can also be the seed and the soil. Well, the Lord can be the seed in your soil that comes up by the wayside. Or that comes up in stony ground or in rocky ground. Brother, it is up to you, which you are. You can have a packed heart like the wayside. You can have a stony heart a little bit past the wayside. Or you can have an impure soil or heart like that which is next to the good soil, or you can be good soil. Now, brothers, tonight, to a large degree, we're going to have to pick. To some degree, at least, we're going to have to pick. You can pick independence. You can pick packed ground. You can just say, this is just not for me. I'm just going to go on. I'm going to take, we used to say many years ago, I'm going to take the Lord as fire insurance. You understand that? Yeah, I'll take him as fire insurance. Did you ever hear that term? As fire insurance. He'll be my insurance to keep me out of hell. That's the fire insurance. But nothing more than just insurance that there'll be no fire. All right, brothers. It all depends on the heart. Now, I don't want to teach because just the very simple reason the Lord didn't give me the gift of teaching. All right, I'm going to read some verses. I asked my sweet wife, write these down, and you don't have to follow them. I'm just going to read them through because I want you to get some sense of the human heart. In Genesis 8:21, one of the first references to the heart, it says, and God is speaking, the imagination of man's heart is evil. The heart has an imagination, and that imagination is evil. Brother, any time you start imagining, it's evil. I don't mean if you imagine that it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, or you imagine things. But I mean when you begin dealing in the imagination in spiritual matters or in things of what you might one day be, the imagination of the heart's just plain evil. Okay. 1 Samuel 16 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Praise the Lord. That's really good. Hallelujah, brother. All right. Praise the Lord, brothers. I would like for you to hear a Carfrid heart. In 2 Samuel 19, the hearts of all the men of Judah were as the heart of one man. Do you know what it was? What it was for? Oh, it was to make David king. Praise the Lord. Amen. They had one heart to make David king. Praise the Lord. And then the Lord called David a man after God's heart. Brother Dick, what? Why was David a man after God's heart? He had a heart to build the house of God. 1 Chronicles 22:7 is the reference, in case you want to know. Our bearers in Psalms 12, we find out that man can speak with a double heart. And Psalms 34, and this is very important, the Lord God is near those with a what kind of a heart? A broken and a contrite heart.
Have you ever had your heart broken in the presence of God?
I don't mean if you've been disappointed by another human. I mean, has God ever broken your heart?
Have you ever had it snap?
What happened?
Brothers, I believe every person in this room who's ever had that experience can say, at that moment, I had the presence of the Lord.
Oh, brilliant.
I have resisted the Lord. I've tried everything on earth, and then come and the Lord break my heart, and just tears well out of my eyes like a flood, and just broken and weeping immediately. The presence of the Lord. I think you all know this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you'll never despise.
Praise the Lord. All right.
Israel was had an uncircumcised heart in Isaiah 65 and in Jeremiah 9:26. Excuse me. My brothers, one of the two most important verses perhaps we'll look at tonight is Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Now, what is the most deceitful thing in the universe?
Heart.
The heart of man is the most deceitful thing. Praise the Lord. Brothers, in Ezekiel 18:31 and repeated in Ezekiel 36:26, I would like to read this to you. And God is speaking, and he is speaking about a certain time. How many of you recognize this reference? I believe I know at least one brother who will. Ezekiel 36:26. Or it's the most known reference in Ezekiel about the heart. Okay. And I will give you, who got it now? Anybody? Okay, who is it? I heard it. A new heart, okay? I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. When will God do that? He made a promise when he would do it. Can anybody tell me when the promise was to be? He gave a specific time. It would be at the time the Lord restored the house of Israel. Now then, in Acts about chapter 9, I believe it was. It can't be 9. 10, 11, 10. James, an elder in Jerusalem, said that at this time that God has restored the house of David, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was at the time the Lord gave the church that the Lord also gave the new heart and the new spirit. Listen, I just want to tell you something, brothers. We have had 1,700 years or 1,800 years of no close connection with the brothers of the early centuries. And in those 1,800 years, we have grown up with a strong, strong sense of being a Christian, of an individual Christian. But if you will go back to the Word of God, you will find that the Lord ties in being a Christian with his house. And his promises are wrapped up with the house. They are really wrapped up with the house. I think we all know that. If we don't know it by the scripture, we know it by experience. And if we don't know it by experience, we'll know it eventually. You know something? Okay, something. There are brothers who are going to touch the house of God today,
but will not take it till 10 years from now.
In Tyler, Texas, a brother got converted and he joined in with us. And he was a new Christian. He just living in the joy of the Lord, and he had 100 things to pick from, and he sampled us. He sampled the body of Christ. He really enjoyed it, but he also wanted to have a ministry of going all over the country, showing religious motion pictures and giving invitations at the end of them. I've been watching that brother ever since. And it's just been one more step now. All his life. It's been about 6 years now. One of these days, that brother's going to get to the bottom. And he's going to find out what we all knew at the end. And that was, there was only one place on earth we get the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Okay.
We heard these verses the other night in Matthew 12. It is out of what's in the heart that the mouth speaks.
What comes out of your heart, brother? I mean, what comes out of your mouth, brother? That's what's in your heart. That's what's in your heart.
Okay, then another. I'd like for somebody to read this to us, and it's Acts 2:46 because it's important. And then someone else read Colossians 3:32.
Can someone do it real quickly? They praised the Lord, they met with one another, and they ate with singleness of heart. That was Acts 2:46, Colossians 3:22. Have you got it, brother?
Thank you.
Let it all say, obey those who are your masters on earth, not the eternal servants, as those who merely please men that with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord.
Oh, brother, too bad about sincerity of heart. As should be singleness of heart. Our simplicity, Darby says, but singleness of heart is better.
So in Acts 2 and in Colossians 3, we have the heart being single. Okay, I believe that that will be enough just to get some impressions of the Scripture. Except that the will of God, according to Ephesians 4:6, is done from the heart. That will do it. Okay, now then, I just want to chat some more. I gave you a Ephesians 4:6.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. The will of God is done from the heart. Brothers and sisters, what is the heart? Give me a simple definition. I gave it to you the first night we ever touched on it. It is the entrance and the exit of our being. And Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Now then, brothers, if you're going to guard your home, what do you guard? You guard the door. You don't have to guard the walls or the roof or the floor. Where do you guard? You guard the door. All right, brothers, if you want to keep something in your house, you guard the door. And if you want to keep something out of your house, what do? You guard the door. Now then, in Matthew 5, the Lord in the Beatitudes says we must have a bankrupt spirit and a pure heart. We must be emptied in our spirits and pure in our hearts. Now then, brothers, not all of us just got saved. Not all of us just got saved. Jack, how long have you been saved?
8 or 9 years.
All right, but Jack, you were cheated.
Hallelujah.
No. Amen, brother. Brother Bond, how long have you been saved?
20 years.
Wow. I believe that that's... Very few brothers in here can get anywhere remotely close to that. But last thing, how long have you known the Lord?
Oh, 35.
Okay. I think we got the record here. Brother Nassim, I don't know too much about you, brother, but I can tell you for sure, you cheated. You could not have possibly been a Christian 35 years without having been cheated, brother. I like to talk to every one of you as though you were new Christians, but I cannot talk to you as new Christians because somebody did not tell you, brothers, that you have to keep your heart soft and that you have to keep your heart pure. And our hearts got impure and our hearts got hard. And brothers, tonight we got to know that our hearts have got to get pure again. Why, brother Dick, would the soil not produce on the ferny ground?
Because of independent spirit.
It was because there was so much in the soil. There was so much in the soil. It wouldn't come up. The thorn was there, the thistle was there, the briar was there, and it choked it out. There were other things in the heart. So, brothers, I can't start and say you have a pure heart. I have to say, brothers, we must get a pure heart. And you cannot possibly know the Lord's will when you do not have a pure heart. Whenever I meet someone who's not clear in the Lord's heart, the Lord's will, I know there is an impurity in the heart. The heart isn't pure. There's something inside that has dirtied it. Praise the Lord, brothers, there are two things and only two things that are necessary for our going on with the Lord Jesus Christ, our heart and our spirit. That's all. Two things. Praise the Lord. Now, brother,
the heart, the spirit's perfect. You can't improve.
The sin got into the body, then sin influenced the soul, but when the When the sin got to the spirit, the Lord drew the line and said, "Better, you will not go." Sin can corrupt the body. It can influence the soul, but it cannot touch the spirit.
Only like a
steel bearing. Have you ever seen a ball bearing? You might drop a ball bearing in the earth, a stainless steel ball bearing, and you might pick it up and you might say it's dirty. And that's true. It has been dirty by being there. But if you will just hold it in your hand, brother, for a moment, you'll realize it's not dirty. It's just dirt on it. But the dirt stops with the spirit. It cannot penetrate. It's like a piece of stainless steel. It might look dirty. You just pick it up and hold it a moment, and you'll see the dirt touches it, but it's not it. It touches it, but it stops there. But brothers, the heart can be dirtied, defiled, and corrupted. Wow. I'm going to read your passage of scripture. Going to scare the liver out of them.
Praise the Lord. For
I have a notion there is not a brother or sister in this room who's ever heard this scripture. But maybe I read it once before. If you have heard it, it was because I read it. I've never heard it mentioned. I don't know anybody else on earth knows this verse but me. If you know this verse and the Lord has touched you with it, I would like for you to tell me. I've never met anybody who knew this verse. Ezekiel 8:8. You know that the temple is something of man. It represents man. You know, there is the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest place. And God spoke to Ezekiel and said, "Ezekiel, come here." And he took Ezekiel in spirit to that temple. And he said, "Son of man, now dig through the wall." So I dug through the wall and I found an entrance. And he said to me, "Go in and see the wicked abominations that are committed here." Well, this is just the most frightening verse of scripture in the Bible. Every time I read, I get out of the pile. So I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creeping thing and beast and despicable things, with all the idols of the house of Israel that were carved on the wall around. And standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel with Jezani, the son of Taphon, standing among them, each man with his censer in his hands and the fragrance of the cloud of censer rising. And then God said to me, "Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark? Each man in the room of his carved images." Praise the Lord.
That's from the heart.
The hidden person. The hidden man of the heart is hidden in the heart. And that man has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ in your spirit. That man is the seed. Now then, deep inside you, and deep inside is the Holy of Holies. You might want to read Ezekiel 8 sometime. Deep inside, there's the holy place, then there's the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies is where the Lord lives. But brothers, there can be in the heart impure thing. And Jesus Christ can't get out of choked soil. Say, but it's just so full of other things he can't get out. The seed comes up and it gets just choked by an impure heart. Further, there must be a heart that is perfectly pure. Now look at my shirt. I want to ask you, is my shirt pure? My wife just washed it and ironed it. It's completely clean. Can you see? My shirt is clean. Is it pure? We make a mistake by thinking that we have, because we are clean, we are also pure. There is a difference between being clean and being pure. Excuse me, Doctor. I want to borrow that a moment. And brothers and sisters, there is something pure.
It's in its original form. It has no dye that's ever been applied to it. It is completely pure. Do you see my point?
Amen.
There is a difference between a clean heart and a pure heart. There are things that can get in the heart, and they will choke out the Lord Jesus Christ. What is in your heart, brother? I tell you, brother, whatever is in there will flow out. I know better than anybody else in this room the reputation of the church in Galicia. And it gets a new one every week or two. But one of the reputations it has that the brothers, oh, that's the place where the brothers all praise the Lord and watch professional football. Lord and watch professional football. You go and turn the on zone and freeze me. And you feel that all day long. And then, brother, that afternoon you're going over to have fellowship with some brothers and sisters around for supper. And you walk in, and what on the wall, brother? What on the wall? What on the wall of the heart? All fart the enemy. You go in, you throw it with the door, hallelujah. But brother, your heart's not in it. Your heart, right? And you sit down, and you, there's where that the brother's a minute or two, and then the bucket just goes dry. And you sit there, and you're still. And pretty soon, you know, say to brother, just almost instinctively, how's your work going these days? Brother, you're already headed down the tube, right? And he says, oh, things are fine. How's it with you? Oh, okay. You know, it's just that the way things are. And pretty soon, brother, you're just going to be all on vain conversation. And there's only going to be one thing on earth that'll strike fire in you. You know what it is? Who won the game at that point? That's the only thing on earth that'll go, boo-boo, talk in your frame. You talk. Brother, have I missed the mark? Have I missed the mark? I want you to answer me. Have I hit the mark? Have I missed it? Huh? You know, brother, there's just a lot of things that get in the heart. Just a lot of things that get in the heart. You know, I just watched a lot of things happen. One of the things that we often watch is a dear sister falls in love with a brother. And then, praise the Lord, she falls in love, and for weeks there's a glorious courtship, and everything is just beautiful and perfect. And it's just joy and enjoyable, and you know, down deep somewhere inside the sister, maybe it's the brother, I don't know, just got their ears over their heads like this, their hands over their eyes like this, and just hoping they never stop to think. And one day the question popped. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to have to build the wall. You're going to be forced to now. And you have to ask the Lord, Lord, is it your will? And then we find out that it is from the heart we do the will of God. And then we find out we got two hearts. And we don't know what we're supposed to do. If that had only happened once in my life, I wouldn't find no problem about it whatsoever. But over and over. Brothers and sisters, we may not realize it, but from the very outset, we harden our heart. Oh, don't ever get the desire of your heart. Have the desire that comes from who is putting a desire in your heart. That's the true desire of the heart. Brothers, I cannot say to you what might be within your heart, but every one of us know. There is only one thing that can be in the heart. What is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ. There can't be a PhD degree. There can't be a job, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a car. There has to be
singleness of the heart. That is where we start with the Lord's dealing with our heart. Brothers and sisters, have you ever let the Lord deal with your heart? Have you ever let the Lord deal with your heart? Have you ever really let Him deal with your heart? Have you taken your desires, your motivations, and your imaginations and let the Lord have them? Your desires, your imagination, and your motivation, and let the Lord have them. Brothers, if God is to have His way in every brother here, it's going to take some real breaking up of the heart. Do you think it's easy to give up watching professional football?
No.
Well, that to me, if I were addicted to that, I'd be terrified of the thought. I would. I turned that thing off and I walked away from it. But I believe next Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whenever those things come on, I'd be like a father expecting his first child. I'd be walking the floor with little beads of perspiration. You know, before it was over with, I'd be down at the laundry mat, looking at the washing machine turn and fiddling with a doll. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't try to give up the Rams, brothers, or the Colts, or the Jets, or whatever they are, but I sure would take my heart to the Lord and ask the Lord to make it single and to make it pure. Because the Lord Jesus Christ cannot possibly grow out of it. But as I've had so many things in my heart, brother, what's in your heart? Had you really allowed yourself to be truly exposed before the Lord as to what's really in there? What is there, brother? Be honest now. Have you brought the heart to the Lord? Oh, brothers, that's where we begin. We begin by bringing the heart to the Lord. And we ask the Lord to deal with it. I want to make something clear here tonight. Do you realize that the Christian experience is a battle? Do you know that? Do you realize that not everything is just peaches and ice cream? And even the reality of the accomplished work of Christ, sometimes, brother, has to be fought for in our lives. I tell you, I stand here as a brother who believes in grace. The Lord covers us with grace. I know many brothers who believe in the Lord's full grace. But one of the most amazing things, if you will talk to any brother, no matter how holy that brother is before the Lord, and ask him his experience, there is not a brother anywhere who has gone on with the Lord but what he has fought his way into the kingdom of God. By praying, by being dealt with by the Lord, and by dealing with the Lord. How, Gene, can I love the Lord? There is only one way that you can love the Lord, and that's with your heart. One more organ, brothers. What is your heart? What is it for? What? How can I love the Lord Jesus Christ? On a few occasions, brothers have said to me, Gene, I just do not know how to love the Lord. Well, I wish all the brothers and sisters were here tonight. How can I love the Lord, brother? Sister, how can you love the Lord? I believe, sister, a couple of weeks ago, you just said to me something along this line, that you had been with us, you'd been among us, but there was just no feeling. You remember that statement? Am I quoting you correctly? Is this the same sister tonight that I was talking to 2 or 3 weeks ago? I don't believe it is, sister. Tonight, when I walked up to this sister, the last night I believe it was, I just walked up to, sometimes the last 48 hours, I walked up to you, and this sister just put me down with the praises of the Lord. She just fell over me with the praises of the Lord. And I believe it was less than a month ago, sister, that there was just no love in the heart for the Lord. Is that true? I think those were almost your exact words. There's just no love for the Lord. Brothers,
How can you have no heart?
Very simple. Very simple. You do it with him, and you let him deal with you.
But Jean, I don't know what to do with him. And I don't want to do it with the Lord.
Then you start right there. You start right there. And you say, Red, I don't want to be dealt with. And I don't want you to deal with me.
Brothers, I have really got a burden tonight. And I would like to just go through this very, very quickly. How can the heart be turned into an organ that loves the Lord? Okay, how, brothers? I would say everything must begin here. We must begin with Jeremiah 17, that the heart is deceitful above all things. The first thing you got to do is to know where you came from. Now, what is the heart? It's deceitful above all things. No man can trust it. First of all, brothers, you got to realize that you are a totally untrustable, double-minded, double-hearted person. Is that a good place to begin? It really is. That's where the Lord begins with all of us, by making us conscious of our need of him. Then, brother, realize that your heart is not pure and that your heart is deceitful above all things. Then, brothers, bring that heart to the Lord and ask the Lord to soften it. Okay, the second thing, brother, what do? You listen for a voice. You listen for a voice and you obey it. Every time you hear it, you obey it. Amen. Brother, what is your name?
George.
And you've been in the road 3 months. 6 months. George, have you sensed a speaking within you? Brother, obey it. And believe. Well, brother, I'll tell you, if it tells you to get a big tent and go out and evangelize the earth and win millions of people to Christ and start an international radio program, brother, you better check the voice. I don't think you will find that to be a voice at all. I think you will find it the images on the heart. I believe you will find it the vain imaginations. Brothers, those have to be torn down. They utterly and totally have to be torn down. I can give you this help, brother. As a new Christian, maybe the first 3, 4, 5, 6 years, there's only one thing the Lord is interested in your life, and that is in your knowing and experiencing Jesus Christ. It is not evangelizing the world. No, I've brought song. Okay, brother, this is one thing. What does it do in relationship to you and to the Lord? Is it a simple thing that brings you closer to him? Or is it something that will glorify you? Something of self-glorification, brother, is coming from the vain imaginations of the heart. Brother, another thing I would say is, if it is the speaking of God, it never pushes. And it's never in a rush. It is never a crash program or something that has to be taken care of immediately. The Lord will always give you plenty of time, brother. Plenty of time. It's a very peaceful speaking. Very peaceful. It's in no rush. No emergency with God. No dire emergency. Those are two helps I would give you, brother. Two helps. Okay, praise the Lord. I think I just would like to just say what I said a moment ago. Have you ever had a desperate heart? You had a desperate heart. I would ask you, how many times have you dealt with the Lord? I don't want to start something here tonight, but brother, I want to know how often you have agonized with the Lord on his territory. Now, there's my territory and his territory. My territory is when I'm banging a pedal and praying to the Lord to get something I want or I'm mad at him. But when I'm on his territory, I'm banging the pillow and I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, get more of me. Take more of me and get more of me. I give you more of me and take more of me. I tell you, sisters, sometimes sisters hide behind being sisters to keep from dealing with the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful than a sister who comes to the Lord purely with no motives and beats the pillow. That's a new term. I better leave that alone. That just comes and really deals with the Lord Jesus Christ about your own personal life and heart. Brothers, you're going to walk out of this room in just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. You just can't go home tonight. There has got to be dealing with the heart. I am not a legalist. I'll go to the wall saying I'm not a legalist. Where, if necessary, you sit down with a piece of pencil and paper and you just write down all of the impure motives you know that are in there. All the ambitions and all the double-heartedness, and just lay it out before the Lord and then deal with it. If necessary, deal with the heart in a violent way. And say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I intend to love you. I intend to love you. I get excited when I see a brother or sister getting ruthless with the Lord. A brother said to me some months ago, I just want to deal with the Lord. I said, brother, go do it. And then he came back with all sorts of frustrations. And I said, praise the Lord. That's just wonderful. And he came back again, still frustrated. You just go on and deal with the Lord. You cannot deal with the Lord and suffer loss ultimately. You deal with the Lord Jesus Christ and ultimately he'll win and you'll lose. Ultimately, he'll get you past the frustration, brother. I know of no man who has ever gone on with the Lord who has not had a long record of dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ about his heart. And you know, brother, when you broke out into the meadow, you'll know, you know. You may not be a perfect saint, you may not be an angel, but you'll know. Well, a little more. There are some verses of Scripture that really help us. One of them is having a pure heart, another is having a single heart, and another, brother, is simply the Scripture says that the Lord makes home in our heart and that the Lord brings his holiness into our hearts. And I wish, I don't remember the verse, when the Lord brings his holiness into our heart. Well, you have to deal with the Lord violently until the Lord begins to make home in your heart, until you begin to feel a deposit of the Lord in your heart. Brother, then you have to do something else, and you have to be very careful about this. I'm sorry, brother, I don't remember your name. George, once the Lord has dealt with your heart, then you got to pay any price necessary to keep the heart tender. See, brother, it gets hard. It can get tender. And it can't get hard again. I don't know if you've ever hardened your heart toward the Lord. But you can do it very simply by just being unwilling to obey him. Have you ever been bitter toward a brother or a sister? Have you ever? And I want to ask you, in that bitterness, were you right? George, yes, you were too. You had all the goods on your side. Dead right. Dead right. Dead right. Now, brother, I want to ask you this. What was your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? To me, this is the funniest thing. The Scripture tells us about the heart blinding, being blind. Now, you tell me, when you were bitter against a brother, what was your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Were you full of joy with the Lord? Were you in good speaking ground for the Lord?
No.
And the heart is blinded and we don't even know it. We don't even know we're out of fellowship with the Lord. We just know we're mad at a brother. We're mad at two or three brothers. But the heart has blinded us to realize that we are cut off from the Lord. Now, brother, where will you go? You've got to go somewhere. you got to go either to the Lord or you got to go to your brother. Where will you go? You got to go somewhere. I don't know where to tell you to go, but you're going to go somewhere. Probably you'll go to the Lord, but you may have to go to that brother. I'm not going to say you don't have to go to that brother. You may have to go. Well, just this word, brothers. God takes no excuses, that the heart might be made tender toward the Lord. Is that easy to do? It is just nearly impossible. But brothers, you will have to do it nonetheless. You will have to do it. Okay, that comes to another word. Brothers and sisters, if you will study all the verses in the scripture that contain heart, you're going to make an amazing discovery that it has a great deal to do with repentance. Well, now, Gene, you mean we're going back to talking about repentance? Mm-hmm. We sure are. We're going back to talking about repentance. We don't talk about repentance. We belong to a higher order of species. We don't repent around here. But I want to ask you a question, and you're repented.
Do you agree?
Huh? You do outgrow it. Okay, brother, what is repentance? I think some brothers here can give us a good definition. It's a turning. It's simply a turning. Is there such a thing as penance? No? Then be careful. I would say there is such a thing as a penance. Such a thing as penance. That is, when we got saved, we were headed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? And in that boat, there was penance. Then one day, we turned away from the Lord. Then we got to turn back. That's repentance. It is simply the turning back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just every once in a while, you got to do it. You just got to say, Lord, I am not turned toward you. I am turned toward spiritual matters, involvement with brothers, sisters, automobiles, stereos, TVs, friends, problems, school, something. But Lord, I repented once. Today, Lord, I repent. I repent again. I turn toward the Lord Jesus. Brothers, it's good to have the ground broken up from time to time. It is. I like to be broken by the Lord. I like to weep. I like for the Lord to touch me. I like to be exposed. It softens my heart. Okay. Jeremiah 17 is a pretty good place to go, but it's not the best place to stay. Now then, I'm going to say, brothers, there's one last thing you got to do. And that is, you got a faith. You got the faith with the heart. Now, that's not good English. Did you hear what I said? You have to faith with the heart. There is no word in the English language for the word believe. Did you know that? There is really the Greek word for believe. It's just not there. You got to faith with the heart. There is no way of saying faith as a verb. Is that it? You have to faith with your heart. You have to believe, but it's more than believe. You just faith with your heart. The heart must be a faithing heart. It must be a believing heart. Then that means we have to define belief and faithing. You know what faith is? Just tell me, what is faith? What is faith? Any other definition? I'm going to give you the best definition in the world for faith. Brothers, here's my definition of faith. I don't have the vaguest idea what faith is. That's my definition.
I have been looking for a definition for faith for 22 years, and I haven't found it yet. But I can tell you this. It is not something I have. It is something of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is something from Him, not from me. And I don't know how to say it, except I go along with it. God has faith. God has faith, and I go along with it. Now, that's what faith is. There's a verse of Scripture I'm trying to quote right now that makes this so clear. Is it Galatians 2:20? Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I live, but the life I now live. I live by what?
Faith of
the faith of the Son of God. Whose faith do I live by? I live by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear sister, Christy, God isn't going to let you have anything. He's not even going to let you have faith. Isn't that neat? It is Jesus Christ's faith. And my heart has just got to have His faith. Lord, I just don't believe it. But I don't have to believe it. You believe it. That's all. I don't believe it, but you believe it. Yes, brother. Brother, that just simply means you have been given a measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is sitting down deep in your heart, and He's just believing, brother. He is just believing. He's deep down in your heart, right, believing. Boy, He believes. He really believes. Do you know what He believes? He believes all things. What does the Lord Jesus Christ believe? He believes everything. Does He believe you're saved? Does He believe that Dick Blue is going to make it? Does He believe your heart is soft?
Yes.
Does He believe that you can hear His voice?
Yes.
Does He believe you will harden your heart?
Yes.
Then believe His belief. That's all. Praise the Lord.
I know.
Do you believe, bro? That is the heart of belief. And it's a bristly heart. And it's a soft heart. Lord, I believe you believe. I take your faith. Amen. Glory. There was a verse of Scripture that says something about the heart. What is it? It's got to be this verse. What is it? Just one verse. Is it not Hebrews 4? No. That's not correct. Hebrews. Sprinkling. John, what verse? Hebrews 10. That the blood might be sprinkled. Oh, what? Oh, what? What conscience?
Evil. Yes, it's an evil conscience. That's a little later.
Well, then we need to read it. All right, let's read it. Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast. 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our body washed with pure water. Okay, praise the Lord. There's one other thing. Our hearts have to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. And another place it says an accusing conscience. Conscience is a buzzardly thing. The conscience can both convict and accuse. Brothers, when the conscience convicts, you've got to repent. And you've got to obey. And immediately, the Lord Jesus will give you His peace. But if it is an evil conscience or an accusing conscience, it just keeps on accusing no matter what you do. It just follows you around like some of these Olivist dogs when you tell them to go away.
Brothers, now just listen very carefully, because you may miss this if you're not careful. Brothers and sisters,
we have blood. Where did we get it? From Jesus Christ.
And how did he make it possible? According to Hebrews 10, how did he make it possible? He made it possible through his flesh. You understand that?
The Bible, the scripture says that it was made possible through the veil,
which was his flesh.
Evan, I know you've never
seen this before. We've never listened before, but we should listen very carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ made it possible through his flesh, through the veil. Now, what happened on the day the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified? The veil was rent. Is that true? Okay. What else was rent? His flesh was rent. Varys? What happened when the veil was rent?
Right.
You got to tell me, brothers. Blood was spilled. That's good. Praise the Lord. Brothers, after his spirit, his flesh was rent, what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ?
I know this is just contrary to all theological teaching, but nonetheless, I believe, brothers, it is correct. Yes?
Well, sister, here's what happened. His flesh was rent, and in that moment, the temple veil was open. And people saw the Holy of Holies. The great, big, thick veil with the cherubims on it ripped open. And the Lord Jesus Christ's spirit, flesh ripped open. What happened? His spirit was released. The spirit of Jesus Christ was released when his flesh was rent open.
Where'd it go? Praise the Lord. It went to the Father. Then where'd it go? Then where'd it go? Okay. We'll say to hell. Then where did it go? It went to
the grave.
It went to the... I don't know. But then after the resurrection, where did it go?
All of us.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. It went in someplace. Where did it go?
It went into the temple. It went into who, brother? It went into you. His spirit went into you. His spirit went into you. Now, brothers, is the veil open or is it closed?
Open.
It's still open. How do you get in? Listen, I'm going to tell you something that should be more valuable to you than perhaps anything else you'll ever know as a Christian. Brothers and sisters, the veil is wide open. It is rent. And the Lord Jesus Christ has gone into your spirit. He has been released from his own flesh, and he can go in your spirit. First of all, he can come back into his own flesh, but he's been released. Jesus Christ has been released by the rending of the veil. And the veil is now open, and he can move around if he gets a chance. Now, when the veil is open, how do you get in there? How do you get in there? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But brothers, I will tell you, especially as a young Christian, every time you start toward the Holy of Holies, something is going to happen. What is it? An accusing conscience. I want to know how many of you understand what I'm talking about. Will you raise your hand? Okay, I want to make sure. When you begin to close your eyes in prayer as a young Christian, immediately you have a sense of unworthiness.
and all sorts of condemnation comes in on you. Is that not true? Brother, does it leave you as a young Christian? No, it comes along like a hound that will not leave. And it just keeps on accusing and accusing. And you come to the red veil and you wish to go in and it was accusing. Brother Mike, to Dr. Meyer, you may have had a real experience. Listen, everyone, to this, please. Brother Mike, you may say to me, I am going to enjoy the Lord, and I am going into my spirit. I am going where the Lord is, and I am not going to be stopped. Then, brother, you will have a fuss with candy. And it'll be a real ugly one. You know, one of those first-class fusses. One of those kind when you wish you'd never marry. You wish you had the gift of celibacy. Then, brother, it is all over with. And you turn around. And immediately, you will have this sense. I must wait 30 minutes, or an hour, or two, or three, for I am 30, and I am not worthy of going into the Lord's presence. I got to stop. I got to put some hours behind me so that I will get out of the sense of the fear that I'm in. Do you know what I'm talking about? That is a lie. We're at the cold line. Oh, all you have to do is let the blood be sprinkled on the conscience.
Amen.
Oh, but listen, better than that.
The blood is already sprinkled on the conscience.
If any of you ever get to know me very well, you will notice when I begin to pray almost any time, especially in the morning, I never come. I got smart. I never come and say, Lord, cover me with your blood. I don't do that. Because I am covered by the blood. I do not say, Lord, cleanse me from an evil conscience. I won't admit it. But brother, I tell you, every day when I begin my day with the Lord, I haven't worn it out yet. When I wear it out, I'll stop. I say, oh Lord Jesus, I thank you for the covering of your blood on my conscience. And that moment, I am liberated, brothers. And if I have a fuss with my wife or my children, I will not be stopped. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God help me, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I not only have access, I deserve the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
How can you say something like that, Jay? Because I'm a child of God. I don't care what happened to me 5 minutes ago. I have the blood on my conscience. Sprinkling the evil. That's it. And I can walk right. Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, when the Lord convicts you, repent. When the evil conscience, that which is left over of the twisted conscience from the fall, accuses you.
Brother, all you have to do is say, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses me from every sin. All you have to say is, Lord, thank you for the blood.
Brother, the accusation is gone. It cannot stand. Oh, brothers, the Lord will give you and keep you a tender heart. All right, brothers and sisters, we must go and we must deal with the Lord. That the Lord might give us a pure heart, and then, brothers, that we will keep it pure by believing the Lord's belief.
The Lord believes you're clean.
Amen.
The Lord believes you're pure. Believe his belief. But I would say deal with your heart and then keep it soft by believing the Lord's belief. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.